Hello everybody, this is Osho Radio. Today we dive deep into meditation. There's a discourse by Osho in which he talks about living on the periphery and living from the inside, from your being. Also, there's beautiful music from the world of Osho from different musicians. This hour is just for you to float and relax. And maybe it can help you in your busy life to stay connected and go deeper into meditation. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy. Discourse today is from the series A Sudden Clash of Thunder. These discourses are about Zen. It is a beautiful series of discourses, and also reading the book is very intense. In the discourse of today's program, Osho is talking about the fact that man is asleep. We all are asleep. Just to be conscious of the fact that you are asleep is the first step. We live in patterns and traditions, and are so busy doing that and creating our own goals that we forget completely who we really are, who we are on the inside.
the most fundamental religious truth is that man is asleep. Not physically, but metaphysically. Not apparently, but deep down. Man lives in a deep slumber. He works, he moves, he thinks, he imagines, he dreams, but the sleep continues as a basic substratum to his life. Rare are the moments when you feel really awake. Very rare. They can be counted on the fingers. If in 70 years life you had only 7 moments of awakening, that too will be too much. Man lives like a robot, mechanically efficient, but with no awareness. Hence the whole problem. There are so many problems man has to face, but they are all byproducts of his sleep. So the first thing to be understood is what this sleep consists in. Because Zen is an effort to become alert and awake. All religion is nothing but that. An effort to become more conscious, an effort to become more aware, an effort to bring more alertness, attentiveness to your life. All the religions of the world, in one way or other, emphasize that the sleep consists in deep identification or in attachment. Man's life has 2 layers to it. One is that of the essential and another is that of the accidental. The essential is never born, never dies. The accidental is born, lives and dies. The essential is eternal, timeless. The accidental is just accidental. We become too much attached to the accidental and we tend to forget the essential. A man becomes too much attached to money. Money is accidental. It has nothing to do with essential life. A man becomes too much attached to his house or to his car or to his wife or to her husband, to children, to relationship. A relationship is accidental. It has nothing essential in it. It is not your real being. And in this century, the 20th century, the problem has become too deep. There are people who call the 20th century the accidental century. They are right. People are living too much identified with the non-essential. Money, power, prestige, respectability. You will have to leave all that behind when you go. I have heard that a great mystic died. When he reached paradise, he asked God why Jesus was not born in the 20th century. The Lord God started laughing and said, "Impossible, impossible. Where would the 20th century people ever find three wise men or a virgin?" The 20th century is the most accidental. By and by, man has become too much attached with my and mine, with possessions. And he has completely lost track of his being. He has completely lost track of I. My has become more important. When my becomes more important, then you are getting attached to the accidental. When I remains more important and my remains just as a servant, then you are a master, then you are not a slave. Then you live in a totally different way. That's what Zen people call the original face of man, where pure I exists. This I has nothing to do with the ego. Ego is nothing but the center of all non-essential possessions that you have. Ego is nothing but the accumulated my and mine. My house, my car, my prestige, my religion, my scripture, my character, my morality, my family, my heritage, my tradition. All these my, all these minds go on getting accumulated. They become crystallized as the ego. When I am using the word I am using it absolutely in a non-egoistic sense. I means your being. Zen people say, find out your face, the face that you had before you were born. Find out that face that you will again have when you are dead. Between birth and death, whatsoever you think is your face is accidental. You have seen in a mirror. You have not felt it from the within. You have looked for it in the without. Do you know your original face? You know only the face your mirror shows to you. And all our relationships are just mirrors. The husband says to the wife, "You are beautiful." And she starts thinking she is beautiful. Somebody comes, buttresses you, says, "You are very wise, intelligent, a genius." And you start believing in it. Or somebody condemns you, hates you, is angry about you. You don't accept what he says, but still deep down in the unconscious it goes on accumulating. Hence the ambiguity of man. Somebody says you are beautiful, somebody else says you are ugly. Now what to do? One mirror says you are wise, another man says you are an idiot. Now what to do? And you have to depend, and you depend only on mirrors. And both are mirrors. You may not like the mirror that says you are an idiot, but it has said, it has done its work. You may repress it. You may never bring it to your consciousness, but deep down it will remain in you that one mirror has said you are an idiot. You trust in mirrors, then you become split, because there are so many mirrors and each mirror has its own investment. Somebody calls you wise not because you are wise. He has his own investment. Somebody calls you an idiot not because you are an idiot. He has his own investment. They are simply showing their likes and dislikes. They are not asserting anything about you. They may be asserting something about themselves, maybe, but they are not saying anything about you, because no mirror can show you who you are. Mirror can only show your surface, your skin. You are not on your skin, you are very deep. You are not your body. One day the body is young, another day it becomes old. One day it is beautiful, healthy, another day it becomes crippled and paralyzed. One day you were throbbing with life, another day life has oozed out of you. But you are not your periphery, you are your center. The accidental man lives on the periphery. The essential man remains centered. This is the whole effort. You create a world around you of illusions. You go on getting attached to things which are not going to be with you when you die. You go on being identified with things which are going to be taken away from you. Hence the Hindus call the world illusion. They don't mean by the world that is there. They simply mean the world that you have created out of your sleep. That world is Maya, illusion. It is a dream world. Who is your wife? The very idea is foolish. Who is your husband? Who is your child? You are not yours. How can anybody else be yours? Not even you are yours. Not even you belong to yourself. Have you watched sometimes that not even you belong to yourself? You also belong to some unknown existence you have not penetrated. Deeper in yourself, you will come to a point where even self disappears. Only a state of no self. Or call it the Supreme Self. It is only a difference of language and terminology. Have you not seen deep down in you things arising which don't belong to you? Your desires don't belong to you. Your thoughts don't belong to you. Even your consciousness, you have not created it. It has been given to you. It is a given fact. It is not you who have created it. How can you create it? You are suddenly there. As if it happens in a magic. You are always in the middle. You don't know the beginning. The beginning does not belong to you. And neither belongs the end. Just in the middle you can create. You can go on creating dreams. That's how a man becomes accidental. Watch out. Become more and more essential and less accidental. Always remember, only that which is eternal is true. Only that which is going to be forever and ever is true. That which is momentary is untrue. The momentary has to be watched and not to be get identified with. I was reading a beautiful anecdote. An elderly Irishman checked out of a hotel room and was halfway to the bus depot when he realized he had left his umbrella behind. By the time he got back to the room, a newly wed couple had already checked in. Hating to interrupt anything, the Irishman got down on his knees and listened in at the keyhole. "Whose lovely eyes are those, my darling?" he heard the man's voice ask. "Yours, my love," the woman answered. "And whose precious nose is this?" the man went on inside the room. "Only yours," the woman replied. "And whose beautiful lips are these?" the man continued. "Yours," panted the woman. "And whose?" But the Irishman could not stand it anymore. Putting his mouth to the keyhole, he shouted, "When you come to a yellow-plaid umbrella, fox, it is mine." This game of my and mine is the most absurd game. But this is the whole game of life. This earth was there before you ever came here. And this will be here when you are gone. The diamonds that you possess were there before you ever came here. And when you are gone, those diamonds will remain here. And they will not even remember you. They are completely oblivious that you possess them. This game of possessiveness is the most foolish game there is. But this is the whole game. Gurdjieff used to say that if you start getting disidentified with things, sooner or later you will fall upon your essential being. That is the basic meaning of renunciation. Renunciation does not mean, sannyas does not mean renouncing the world and escaping to the Himalayas or to a monastery. Because if you escape from the world and go to a monastery, nothing is going to change. You carry the same mind. Here in the world, the house was yours and the wife was yours. There the monastery will be yours. The religion will be yours. It will not make much difference. The mind will persist. It is a mind attitude. It has nothing to do with any outside space. It is an inner illusion, an inner dream, an inner sleep. Renunciation means wherever you are, there is no need to renounce the things because in the first place you never possessed them. It is foolish to talk about renunciation. It means as if you were the possessor and now you are renouncing. How can you renounce something which you never possessed? Renunciation means coming to know that you cannot possess anything. You can use at the most, but you cannot possess. You are not going to be here forever. How can you possess? It is impossible to possess anything. You can use, and you can be grateful to things that they allow to be used. You should be thankful to things that they allow to be used. They become means, but you cannot possess them. Dropping the idea of ownership is renunciation. Renunciation is not dropping the possessions, but possessiveness. And this is what Gurdjieff calls getting unidentified. This is what Bowles call realizing Adhar Manus, the essential man. This is what Zen people call the original face. There is a very famous Taoist story. I love it tremendously. The story is about an old Taoist farmer whose horse ran away. That evening the neighbors gathered to commiserate with him. Since this was such bad luck, he said, maybe. The next day the horse returned but brought with it 6 wild horses. And the neighbors came exclaiming at the good fortune. He said, maybe. And then the following day, his son tried to saddle and ride one of the wild horses, was thrown and broke his leg. Again the neighbors came to offer their sympathy for the misfortune. He said, maybe. The day after that, conscription officers came to the village to seize young men for the army. But because of the broken leg, the farmer's son was rejected. When the neighbors came in to say how fortunate everything had turned out, he said, maybe. This is the attitude of a man who understands what is accidental and what is essential. The accidental is always maybe. It is a perhaps. You cannot be certain about it. You need not be certain about it. People who become certain about the accidental are going to be frustrated sooner or later. Their certainty is going to create much frustration for them. Their certainty will create expectations, and they cannot be fulfilled because the universe is not there to fulfill your expectations. It has its own destiny. It is moving towards its own goal. It does not care about your private goals. All private goals are against the goal of the universe itself. All private goals are against the goal of the whole. All private goals are neurotic. The essential man comes to know, to feel, that I am not separate from the whole. And there is no need to seek and search for any destiny on my own. Things are happening. The world is moving. Call it God. He is doing things. They are happening on their own accord. There is no need for me to make any struggle, any effort. There is no need for me to fight for anything. I can relax and be. The essential man is not a doer. The accidental man is a doer. The accidental man is, of course, then in anxiety, tension, stress, anguish, continuously sitting on a volcano. It can erupt any moment. Because he lives in the world of uncertainty and believes as if it is certain. This creates tension in his being. He knows deep down that nothing is certain. A rich man has everything that he can have, and yet he knows deep down that he has nothing. That's what makes a rich man even poorer than a poor man. A poor man is never so poor. Because still he has hopes, someday or other, destiny is going to shower blessings on him. Someday or other, he will be able to arrive, to achieve. He can hope. The rich man has arrived. His hopes are fulfilled. Now suddenly he finds nothing is fulfilled. All hopes fulfilled, and yet nothing is fulfilled. He has arrived and he has not arrived at all. It has always been a dream journey. He has not moved a single inch. A man who is successful in the world feels the pain of being a failure as nobody else can feel it. There is a proverb that says nothing succeeds like success. I would like to tell you nothing fails like success. But you cannot know it unless you have succeeded. When all the riches are there that you dreamt about, planned about, worked hard, and sitting just amidst those riches is the beggar. Deep inside, empty, hollow. Nothing inside. Everything outside. In fact, when everything is there outside, it becomes a contrast. It simply emphasizes your inner emptiness and nothing. It simply emphasizes your inner beggarliness, poverty. A rich man knows poverty as no poor man can ever know. A successful man knows what failure is. At the top of the world, suddenly you realize that you have been behaving foolishly. You may not say it so, because what is the point of saying it so? You may go on pretending that you are very happy. Presidents and prime ministers go on pretending they are very happy. They are not. They are just saving their faces. Now what to say? Now there is no point even in saying they are not true. In the older ages, people were truer, more authentic. Buddha was a prince. He was going to be the emperor. But he realized that there is nothing in it. He could have pretended. Mahavira was a prince. He was going to be the emperor. He realized that there is nothing in it. They simply declared their realization to the world. They simply said that riches have failed, that kingdoms are not kingdoms, that if you really are seeking the kingdom, you will have to seek somewhere else in some other direction. In this world, there is no way to arrive. It happened when Theodore Roosevelt, returning from Africa, received the most affectionate and exuberant greeting as his ship steamed into New York Harbor. Bands were playing, soldiers, sailors, and marines saluted. Pretty girls greeted him as pretty girls will do. Ships in the harbor sprayed water in a festive white arc, and the people, throngs of people, shouted their welcome to him. On the same ship, a mystic, a very old wise man, was also returning. A few old friends greeted him off in a corner, trying to be heard in the tumultuous noise. One of them said, "We are sorry we can't welcome you home as Theodore Roosevelt is being welcomed." To which the mystic answered, as he pointed upward, "That's all right, I'm not home yet." In this world there is no home. This world is accidental. It is illusory, just ripples on the surface, waves. And whatsoever you are doing is nothing but making card houses, or trying to sail paper boats. They are doomed to drown. This realization makes a man for the first time a little alert about his sleepiness. And then he starts moving more and more towards consciousness. When things are no more important, only consciousness becomes important. When things are no more significant, a new search, a new door opens. Then you are not rushing towards the without. You start slipping into the within. The kingdom of God is within. And once you drop identifying with things, suddenly you are no more fighting. There is no point. You start moving with the river of existence. Arrival at home is effortless.
Begin reading. Take Kiss the earth. Let the beauty we love be what we do. There are hundreds of ways to kneel and kiss the earth.
We're coming to the end of the program. You heard music by Bindu before the discourse, a composition called Water Spirits from his CD Time for Living. Then there was Miten with the song Anything Can Happen from his CD Blown Away, and Suda was singing Undeya Hibi from her CD Planet Love. After the discourse, you heard an instrumental piece by Manish Vijas called Darbari. And just now there was the song Kiss the Earth by Sudananda. Goodbye, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the program. Stay tuned to Osho Radio. Keep sending your emails and response. Share the program with your friends and come back to us for the next program. Goodbye, everybody. Take care. Goodbye and namaste to you all.